Welcome to the second season of Sit Rep, the official DVS podcast. I'm your host, U.S. Army combat veteran Greg Williams. This season, we're going to switch things up. We're dedicating each episode of the season to a specific theme in an effort to illuminate issues faced by today's veterans. Today, we're going to be talking about transition. We spoke to Amari Espinal, a Sergeant First Class in the U.S. Army Reserves and Senior Engagement Coordinator here at DVS.
I went to basic training at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and then AIT at Fort Gordon, Georgia. So I was gone from home for a little over 6 months, and then I came back home. Coming out of boot camp, you know, it's a very structured environment, right? So you're told when you're going to wake up, when you're going to sleep, when you're going to eat, when you're going to even sometimes go to the bathroom. You know, you have literally every minute of your day is scheduled. I was still very in that mode. I was still shaving every day and getting haircuts once a week, and I was still very militant, you know, coming back from that. So I spoke louder, you know, I ate faster. My family, friends, and others that knew me noticed a change in me. So I kind of, you know, took that, I owned that new identity, I guess, so to speak, as far as being a service member. Before my first deployment, so this is 2006. I was going to Iraq and I was saying goodbye to my family. I was at my grandma's house and, you know, a bunch of my cousins, uncles and aunts were there and stuff. And I remember one of my little cousins, he must have been, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old at the time. You know, and I went to say bye to him. And he's like, bye. I hope you don't die. I was like, oh, thanks, buddy. You know, I appreciate your concern for me. Obviously, he's a child. He doesn't really know what I'm about to embark on. But, you know, people ask me still similar questions. Oh, did you shoot anyone? Did you kill anyone? Questions that some may seem as very insensitive or maybe even triggering. Fast forward a few years, I get deployed, and that time I'm gone from home for about 15 months total. I had actually fractured and dislocated a finger, and towards the end of that tour, and the doctor was telling me, hey, you know, you could stay back here and we could do surgery on it. I'm like, nah, I just want to go home. He's like, okay. So yeah, I just, you know, I was like, no, I don't want to, you know, be stuck here for another however long it takes to recover from that. So I was just like, just send me home. I'm going home with everybody else. And I remember the helicopter flight out of Iraq into Kuwait. And I'm just looking out the gunner's door there. And I'm like, man, I'm never coming back to this place again. I don't know. Our processing was just like a blur. Like, you know, you're just going through all these briefings and filing all this paperwork and you're not really paying attention to anything. You're just thinking about the first thing you're going to eat and the first people you're going to see when you get back home. And that's, you know, was a bit more of a transition because I was used to living in the desert where it's 120, 130 degrees, you know, in the summertime, and I shared a trailer with three other guys, and we really got to know each other. We would get rocketed and mortars launched at us pretty much on a daily basis, you know. So if I were, sometimes when I would hear any whistle sound, like, that would kind of come to me, and it would kind of bring me back to being back in Iraq. But I had to tell myself, hey, you're back home, you're back in New York now, you know, you don't have to worry about that stuff. Of course, it's great to come home. It felt great to be back home with your friends and family, but you kind of have to detach yourself from what you've been living for the past, you know, year and a half. I found it difficult to tell my story, so to speak, to my family and friends. People would ask me, oh, how was it? Or what did you do out there? You know, and it was difficult sometimes to translate that into terms that they would understand. You could try to explain something to someone, but if it's something that they haven't experienced themselves, it just sounds foreign. It's you know, it's really unfathomable to them. I did still hang out with some of my buddies that I deployed with, and we would kind of, you know, joke around and reminisce to war stories, so to speak, about our time out there. I kind of sought comfort in that because there were guys that knew what I went through and they could relate to me. And you know, if I was just, I don't know, going through a rough patch or, you know, going through whatever it was, they kind of, you know, they were kind of a support system. It was easier for me to talk to them than to talk to someone who had not been in the service.
So I want to play a little game with you. And I think that it's very important that maybe service members who are serving, or, you know, if you have a family or loved one, they should play this game with them. And I'm pretty sure you played this game as you were transitioning out. I'm going to play your voice, and I'm going to play you actually saying what you're going to do. So I'm going to be the voice in your head as you're transitioning out, and I want to hear your answer. All right, I'm going to try to do my best James Fitzgerald impression, everybody. Bear with me. It should be fun. I hope you're down with this. Are you?
I call myself Fitz in my head.
So okay, Fitz. Oh yeah, Fitz. This is James Fitzgerald of the New York City Veterans Alliance and U.S. Army veteran. All right, Fitz. What are we going to do about housing? No more apartment.
I'm in New York. Housing is the craziest thing that's going on here. I have no clue where to begin, and I have no clue who to talk to about this.
Well, Fitz, you ain't got no place to live yet. You gotta find a job. We going to New York City. You gotta find a job. How are we gonna find this job, Fitz?
Google. That was the only thing that I knew. They don't teach you how to do that. They don't teach you how to job search in the Army. So I remember that being my first thought was, crap. I was in the infantry, and I should have learned how to write a resume.
Fitzy, what is the first meal I'm going to eat when I get out of this uniform?
The first thing that I ate was Cinnabon. I didn't have Cinnabon until I went to Iraq the first time. And it was the most incredible thing that I put in my mouth, in my entire existence. So when I gotten out of the military, one of the first things that I wanted to do was find a Cinnabon and just sit down by myself and have a giant cup of coffee and a giant Cinnabon. And that is what I did.
Aww,
it's a small tear.
I feel like we should go for a Cinnabon after this.
My transition out of the military, I was a part of the United States Army, and due to injuries sustained in Afghanistan in 2010, I was being medically retired. I was struck with a feeling of loss. And it was just like that genuine loss of purpose. When I knew that I was taking off the uniform for the last time, because of my injuries, I was ineligible to be in the reserves or National Guard. So I knew when the day came that I was taking off the uniform for the last time, that it truly was going to be the last time that Staff Sergeant Fitzgerald was going to be a part of the United States Army. That first morning, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was out. I was free. Everything that I had desired throughout the multiple years, whenever the hard times would hit, wanting to be that, you know, carefree civilian, I was there. And it was just a lot of silence. That was the majority of the first week of my transition out, was a lot of just quiet. I still stayed in my apartment in Columbus, Georgia, and it's just me in this apartment. What do I do now? The pathway I saw for myself led to New York City. Less than a month after I had transitioned out of the military, I had found myself in Harlem, New York, you know, living the New York life, trying to figure out the next chapter of my life. Now I didn't have the uniform. I didn't have the familiar structures of the military to kind of guide me along and help get me settled into this new quote unquote duty station that I'm in now.
So you got a veteran. And I mean, you've been pretty successful almost in all your facets. Like you've served, you deployed to Afghanistan, combat operations, came back, Purple Heart recipient. You worked for Michelle Obama. You worked in one of the largest shelters. Like, you've always excelled. What do you tell that veteran that is maybe transitioning now and they don't know what the heck to do in their life?
So one of the things that made me successful in the military was having good mentors and good leaders to guide me along. They were extremely tough, but it was necessary because I was very stubborn sometimes. And they definitely took the time to instill in me all the knowledge necessary for me to be an excellent leader. So that was one of the first things that I looked at getting out, was seeking out, you know, good mentors to guide me along to figure this out. You know, Tom Brady needs Bill Belichick. You can be the best in the world, but you still need someone to help guide you along and hone those skills. Maybe kind of focus your energies through a lens that's better suited to your skills. So I was able to find that. But the second thing that I'm going to bring up that, you know, helped me transition successfully is finding community. One of the first things that I had to come to understand was the veteran community that I desired so much was not going to come out and find me. It was the other way around, that I had to put in the work to go and seek out the things that I needed in order to begin this journey. So that was the first thing that I had to kind of experience for myself, to understand that because I am in the most populous city in the country, there's this massive element of organizations that are there specifically for my community. It does not mean that I'm going to be automatically connected to that. I have to seek this out. I have to find that network for myself. The main thing that I was looking for in a veteran support organization was one that was active in the community, that was focused on community building, that was also focused on improving not only the veteran community, but, you know, New York City as a whole. That organization that I was initially connected to was New York City Veterans Alliance. It was the first organization that I truly felt a connection with and truly resonated with the mission, because I saw the potential to be a leader again. Everyone has these feelings of loneliness, these feelings of regret, these feelings of loss, these feelings of uncertainty. And the sooner that we can be connected to others that reassure us of who we are, the better off we can be. But the longer that we're out there alone, listening to the thoughts of doubt and insecurity and fear and loneliness, the longer we're out there, the harder it is to reel us back in. I know better now where to seek out other veterans that may be in need, because I remember the spaces that I went to in search of those mentors, in search of those organizations, in search of that light at the end of the tunnel. So revisiting those locations to find those individuals that are seeking more is something that I find myself constantly doing now. But it's what we all need to do. Walking back through those steps to remember how hard they were, how heavy some of those steps felt, when you felt you were walking alone and no one else was with you.
And see, that's just such a crazy thing, because that's just one of the reoccurring things that you see in a lot of veterans. Once they're transitioning out, they get that feeling of like loneliness. And now I'm secluded from my tribe. I'm secluded from my people, my battle buddies. So let me ask you, when you came to New York, did you have that? I mean, what can help remedy that I find? And this is just my feeling, is that when you meet that person and you say, yeah, I'm a veteran, they're like, I'm a veteran too. You're a veteran? I'm a veteran. You're a veteran? Did you have that moment when you came to New York?
It was.
And who did you have it with?
The first time it happened, and I'll never forget this, it was randomly with someone on the A train. There was a fight that broke out on the train. And, you know, a couple of the passengers had, you know, gotten involved to break it up. And I'll never forget, there was one guy that was continuously like doing a patrol of the car to make sure everyone was all right. And me and him were just like going back and forth about like the incident that just happened. And we both agreed that we were going to stay and make sure that the police were notified and, you know, give the official report. And while we were sitting there talking, he had asked me, he's like, hey, you know, you from New York? And I was like, no, I just got here, you know, a couple months ago. I got out of the military. He's like, oh, no. And like, that's how it happened. And he starts telling me about his military time. He was a Marine. We exchanged numbers. And it was just like one of those eye-opening experiences to me that you can meet a veteran anywhere. But it was also kind of a sad feeling, too, to know that had that kind of bad situation not happened, I wouldn't have ever met this guy. I would have never known that there was a great veteran sitting, you know, on the very train that I was on. But it took something like that to spark the interaction.
Okay, so note, if you ever see a fight on a train and you're a veteran, there may be another veteran with you. That's what I'm going to take away from that, James. I'm still not going to go on a subway and just look for fights. I'm sorry, that's just not me.
Oh, the fight will find you. It's like if you ride the train enough, it will find you.
So, you know, when you're in the military, you're connected to people, you're part of a greater team, a greater mission. When you have that uniform on, there's a level of pride that you have. And when that's stripped from you, when you release it and it's gone, you try to connect, you try to adjust to what life is like without the uniform. Who is Monique now after the uniform? I might have known Monique before the uniform, during the uniform, but who is she now?
This is Monique Rada, a DVS employee and U.S. Navy veteran.
In the military, everything is structured. They really give you your identity. And if you hold on too tight to that, when you transition out, it makes it harder for you to identify with who you are because you might feel inadequate. You may feel like you're missing something when really you're gaining something. You gained a skill. You gained experience. You gained grit. You gained strength. You gained discipline. But during that time of transition, you don't feel like that. You actually feel like you're stripped of these things because you so closely tie them to the military and your uniform and, you know, your service to your country. So when I got out of the military, I was about 22, 23. And so a lot of the issues and things, the places I've seen around the world, the kind of conflicts and things I dealt with in the military, my friends and family could not relate or understand. So it really was about trying to just recognizing that they can't understand and that's okay. They were so used to, well, wow, you've changed. And, you know, who are you now? And why, you know, this has never bothered you before, but not understanding that. A lot of things that I went through in the military, oftentimes I wasn't able to even share with them. So there was a disconnect where they knew that there was something happening, but they didn't know how to really connect with me for me to open up to that. So that's where I think relationships may have been strained during that time of transitioning home. Yes, missing my connections to the military, my identity that was aligned with that for so long, and then trying to embrace myself and my new identity as just a civilian. There was definitely isolation, just not being able to connect to my friends with certain things, certain experiences. But for me, being a mom with two kids, I didn't have the luxury, and not even say luxury, I didn't have the opportunity to stay isolated because at the end of the day, I had to provide for my children. So I had to be focused. It took some level of determination and focus to recognize that I had to put my own feelings, my own concerns, just even really reflecting on my experiences and my trauma that I may have faced in the military aside because I had a greater focus, which was providing for my children. I was completely done with the VA once I, you know, received certain benefits as a disabled veteran. I just completely left that life behind and I kind of navigated through the system, trying to find a job, trying to get medical coverage, all these different things as a single mom with two kids, navigating through that system without any support from the veteran community. I was completely on my own. And what I mean by that is as far as it pertains to support from military, the veteran community, I knew nothing of that. When I transitioned back into a civilian life in New York City, it was really just through civilian means. So I had family, thankfully. I had a faith-based community. However, I was not connected to the community. I didn't understand myself as a veteran. I didn't identify as a veteran. When I think of a veteran at that time, I thought of my grandfather who served in World War II, Korean War, my father who served in Vietnam War. So I did not necessarily, as a woman, consider myself to be a veteran. I just didn't connect to it. When you don't know that you're a veteran and are able to identify as a veteran, you miss out on services that you can get. So because I didn't recognize or identify as a veteran, there were a lot of resources I just wasn't aware of until now, until actually when I got into this agency working to understand, like, wow, there are services out there. After leaving for so many years, thinking, you know, that's a part of my life that I'm done with, and then having to kind of come back to that and readjust, I had to find myself again. I had to find out, well, who's Monique now with this emotional baggage, with these other, you know, experiences and good, bad experiences, but my experiences nonetheless, and how do I become this new person?
That's it for SitRep. I'm your host, Greg Williams. SitRep is produced and edited by Gil Feliciano. Make sure you tune next week for a new episode.